بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In last week's lesson, we began this series of two or three lessons in which we are studying bid'ah, innovations, and rulings pertaining to innovations and other matters which relate to al-bid'ah. And in the previous lesson, we first went through the linguistic meaning of bid'ah. So who can remember from your notes what is the linguistic meaning of bid'atun? Meaning the Arabs, when they speak in Arabic, nothing to do with Islam, in their daily conversations, when they use this word bid'atun, what does it mean? No, who knows? Tafadhal Hassan. Go ahead.
Is it something that's not been done before, something that's not preceded it before?
No, so something which has been introduced new, something which has been invented new, and it does not have a previous example to it. So bid'ah is al-ikhtira', and al-ikhtira', it can mean either inventions or additions or innovations, something which was not there previously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He said badi'u samawati wal ard, that He is badi'u samawati wal ard. He is the one who started and created and introduced the heavens and the earth, and before that creation there was nothing else before Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said to His Messenger, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am not bid'an مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. I am not a messenger before whom there was nobody else. I am not bid'an, meaning before me there were other messengers who came like me carrying the same message. I am not something which is a new introduction, and there was no other messenger before me. So this is the meaning of bid'atun, a al-ikhtira'. And then istilahan, the technical meaning of bid'ah according to our usage in al-Islam. We mentioned last week maybe four or five different definitions that the ulama have given, Shatibi, Ibn Rajab, Ibn Taymiyyah, and others. But to summarize, a bid'ah within Islam, it is called bid'ah if it has four qualities or four characteristics which are found in this action. So first of all, أن يكون العمل محدث, that this action which a person is doing has to be new, was not done before. Secondly, أن ينسب ويضاف إلى الدين, that this action, this new action that a person is doing, he ascribes it to the religion, he thinks it's a part of Islam. Thirdly, لا يكون له أصل في الشرع, this new action which is now being ascribed to the religion, it does not have any أصل in the legislation, meaning there's no evidence from the Quran, there's no evidence from the Hadith. The Prophet ﷺ did not do this action, the Sahaba did not do this action. And then the fourth condition, and this is important, is that this action could have been done at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and yet he did not do so. And there was nothing which prevented the Prophet ﷺ from doing so. And we gave an example of a Maulid al-Nabawi, celebrating the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is it muhdath? Was it done at the time of the Prophet or was it not? It was not done. So therefore it's a new action. Is it being attached to the religion? Is it considered to be a religious action? Yes, it is. They consider Eid, Maulid al-Nabi, to be an Eid of al-Islam. If you do this, you are rewarded for it. So they are attaching it to al-Islam. Does it have any asl in the Sharia? Does it have any basis, any evidence in the Sharia? No, it does not. Fourthly, could it have been done at the time of the Prophet ﷺ? Yes, it could have, very easily. Was there anything preventing the Prophet or the Sahaba from doing this action? No, nothing was preventing them. So we find all of these four conditions are fulfilled in this action. So now we can say this action, it is a bid'ah. So that was the first thing we studied. And then after this, we studied the two types of innovations or inventions, And that is al-ibtida' fil 'adat ad-dunyawiyya. Firstly, people introducing new things in their worldly customs. Has nothing to do with the religion. Just in our worldly customs, we're using new technologies. We are driving new types of transport. We're using new modes of communication. All of this is bid'ah. All of this is muhdath. All of this is new. But is this haram? No. Why? Because this is from our aadat ad-dunyawiyya. This is from our worldly customs. There's no reward, no punishment which is attached to a mobile phone in of itself, or the microphone, or using an airplane. There's no punishment or reward in of itself attached to that action. And then we have al-ibtida' fi al-deen, new innovations and additions which are added to the religion. And this is haram. And the asl here is that it is not permitted. So always when it comes to ibadah at-tawqif, mean you're not allowed to do any act of ibadah unless you have an evidence which legislates for you to do it. So if a person comes to you and says, tell me where in the Quran it says that doing this type of congregational dhikr that the Sufiya do, tell me where in the Quran this is haram. The question is false, because when it comes to Islam, everything is haram unless you prove that it is halal. So if somebody is doing a new action, you have to prove to us that it is legislated. We don't have to prove to you that it is haram, because the asl in the sharia when it comes to ibadat is at-tawqif wal-man'. That you have to stop. You're not allowed to do anything in Islam until you know that it has been legislated in the sharia. When it comes to the matters of the dunya, the opposite. So in the matters of the dunya, the asl is al-ibaha. The default ruling is it is permitted. So I don't have to bring to you an evidence to say this thing is allowed. Rather, you have to bring to me an evidence saying this thing is haram. And this is the difference between the aadat and the ibadat. So the aadat, the worldly customs, the worldly actions, the asl is al-ibaha. The default ruling is it is allowed. We are allowed to do everything and eat everything and wear every type of clothing and drink any type of drink and use any type of technology. We are allowed to deal with any type of transaction, the asl, unless there is an evidence which makes it haram. So when it comes to buying and selling, for example, the asl is it's permitted. Now, then there are certain exceptions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made riba haram. So now we know, okay, riba is an exception to the general rule. Stealing. Allah made stealing haram, so now it is an exception to the general rule. Oppression in wealth, cheating and deceiving. All of these types, bay'atayni fil bay'a, two agreements or two contracts within a single contract. This is an exception to the general rule. When it comes to, for example, a clothing. So I can wear whatever I want. And I don't have to show you an evidence that this clothing is allowed. Any type of clothing, any type of fabric, any style of clothing, I can wear whatever I want. I don't need to show you evidence that this is halal. But then there are exceptions. So for men, silk we are not allowed to wear. For women and men also, we're not allowed to wear clothing which shows our awrah. And which is, and other things which we are aware of, libas al-shuhra, and things which is see-through or very tight to our clothing, and so on and so forth. So the asl, when it comes to the matters of the dunya, is al-ibaha. Everything is permitted unless you can find an evidence to make it haram. But when it comes to Islam and ibadat, the opposite. Everything is haram unless you can bring an evidence which legislates it. And this is the meaning of the hadith, من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. Whoever does any action which is not in agreement with our affair, meaning he has no legislation in Islam, then it is rejected. The base ruling, the default ruling, the asl is it is mardood, it is rejected. Then after this, we spoke about the types of bid'ah within Islam. So in Islam, the bid'at, which are all of them are haram, but they are different types, or there are two main types, bid'atun asliya and bid'atun idafiya. So bid'atun asliya is a bid'ah, which in of itself, the asl, it is totally new. If somebody, for example, legislates a new salah or a new Eid, he has legislated, he has innovated the whole action, something which was never ever done before. So for example, when it comes to the 5 daily prayers, somebody prays a 6th salah. Ever in the history of Islam, has there ever been a 6th salah? No. So if somebody now comes out with a 6th salah, then he has innovated this new action in of itself. And this is called bid'atun asliyah. And then there is bid'atun idafiyah. And the bid'atun idafiyah is something which has been legislated. It's a part of Islam, but somebody adds something to it or takes something away from it. So, like for example, a dhikr. A dhikr saying subhanallah, saying alhamdulillah, it's legislated. In Islam, the asl is legislated. But if somebody adds something to this, so says, look, we should say subhanallah 33 times, say alhamdulillah 33 times, but let's all of us say it in one voice, in unison. The asl is in the sharia, the asl of making the dhikr, but the idafa, this new addition which has been added to it, this is where the bid'ah is. So the bid'ah idafiyah, هو الأمر المبتدع مضافا إلى ما هو مشروع بزيادة أو نقص. It is an addition to something which has been legislated, but either something has been added to it or something has been taken away from it. Then we went through the types of bid'ah in the religion in terms of their severity. So there are two types of bid'ah: bid'atun mukaffira and bid'atun mufassiqa. So bid'atun mukaffira is the bid'ah which reaches the level of kufr. And bid'atun mufassiqa is disobedience to Allah, but it is not al-kufr. So anything which negates the asl of Islam, it is bid'atun mukaffira. So for example, the bid'ah of the Qadariya, this new belief that they came out with, wherein they said, Allah does not know the actions of the people until the people do the action. Or Allah created the people, but He did not decree their actions. This is kufr. Or like the bid'ah of the Jahmiyyah and all of these groups, the bid'ah of the Rafidah, these new innovations and these new aqaid which they came out with, they are mukaffira. They are the level of kufr and ashirk. And then there's less than this, and this is bid'atun mufassiqa, meaning it is on the level of kufr, but it is disobedience to Allah. So the way that some of the people make a dhikr, for example, this is bid'atun, but it isn't kufr. And celebrating the new Eid, which people innovate, this is bid'ah, but it's only a sin. It's not kufr and does not take a person out of the fold of al-Islam. Then we also spoke about the types of bid'ah when it comes to the timing. Meaning there's bid'atun haqiqiyah and there's bid'atun nisbiyah. So bid'atun haqiqiyah is a real bid'ah, something which was never ever done, and now somebody has introduced it again. Ikhtira'un mahv, absolute innovation, no evidence at all. Then the second type is bid'atun nisbiyah, and this is a relative bid'ah, meaning this action has an asl in Islam, it has an evidence in Islam, but then for a time it was abandoned, forgotten, left out, and then it is revived once again. So with regards to us, relative to us, it's a type of bid'ah because for many, many years it hasn't been done. So it's relatively a bid'ah. But is it really a bid'ah? No, because it has an evidence. And the greatest example of this is when Umar radiallahu anhu, when he gathered the people to pray Taraweeh behind a single imam, and he said, Ni'mul bid'ah hadhi. How good a bid'ah this is. This action of the people praying Taraweeh or Tahajjud, Qiyam al-Layl together behind a single imam, it was a relative bid'ah, meaning before the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, it wasn't being done. But does it have an evidence in the Sharia alaykum salam? Yes, it does. Because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for 3 days, the companions prayed tahajjud and qiyam al-layl al-taraweeh behind the imam, behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gathered all of the people to pray Taraweeh or Tahajjud in Ramadan behind him, behind a single imam. He did this for 3 days. Then he feared that if we carry on like this, maybe the people will think that this is a wajib. And they will then it will become difficult for them. So on the fourth day, he did not come out. And so the people, they started praying Tahajjud Qiyam al-Layl on their own again. And then it stayed like this during the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then finally at the time of Umar, when he would come to the masjid, he would see people. One person is praying Taraweeh in that corner. Two or three people praying Taraweeh over here. A small group is praying over there. So then he thought to himself, instead of all of the people praying in individual small groups, why don't we all pray together behind a single imam, like it was done at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 3 days. So this action of his now, is it bid'atun haqiqiyah? No, it isn't. Why? Because it was done at the time of the Prophet. But it is bid'atun nisbiyah. It is a relative bid'ah, because in his time it's not being done, and now he has revived it again. And we could also say, if there was a sunnah which the people have forgotten, and somebody comes along and he revives this, and people think this is a new thing. So it's a new thing relative to our time, but the asal of it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is how we understand the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu, ni'm al bid'a hadhi, how good of a bid'a this is, meaning bid'atun nisbiyya wa laysa bid'atun haqiqiyya. And this is one of the evidences that the Ahlul Bid'ah that they use. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man sanna fil Islami sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man tabi'ahu." Man sanna fil Islami sunnatan hasanatan. Whoever brings in Islam a good sunnah, then for him is its reward and the reward of the people who follow him. What's the meaning of introducing a good sunnah into Islam? Meaning reviving something. Something which was forgotten, and you are reviving it and guiding the people towards this sunnah, then for you is the reward and the reward of those who follow you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, Musahahu wal Albani, Inna Allah yab'athu li hadhihi al umma ala ra'si kulli mi'ati sana man yujaddidu laha dinaha. Allah sends at the beginning of every century in this ummah somebody who will revive the religion. Meaning, many of the common Muslims will have forgotten things from the Islam, and this alim, he will come and he will teach them and remind them, and he will revive these aspects of al-Islam. All of this is, you could say, bid'atun nisbiyya, meaning it's relatively new, but the asal is in the sharia, it has in an evidence. And then I think the final thing which we did was bid'atun tarkiyya wa bid'atun fi'liyya. That a bid'ah can be in something which you do, an action which you perform, or bid'ah can be in an action which you do not do, something which you do not perform. So bid'atun fi'liyya, so a bid'ah in an action which a person does, this is known. All of these examples we gave, these are actions which people are doing which are bid'ah. But also importantly, you might not do something and this can still be a bid'ah. So not doing something, stopping from doing something, this can also be a bid'ah. For example, those three men who came outside the chambers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of them, he said, سَأَصُومُ وَلَا أَفْطِرُ. He said, I'm going to fast. Every single day I'm going to fast. Meaning I'm going to stay away from eating and drinking. I'm not going to have a day in which I'm not fasting. So he isn't doing something, rather he's withholding from something. He's withholding from eating and drinking for the sake of Allah. The other one, he said, سَأَقُومُ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا أَنَامُ. I am going to stay away from my sleep. I'm going to stay awake at night, all night praying Qiyam al-Layl. And I'm going to abstain from sleeping. So praying Qiyam al-Layl, this of course is a sunnah. But what was he doing? He was abstaining from sleeping for the sake of Allah. The other one, he said, لا أتزوج النساء. I'm never going to marry women. So he isn't doing an action, rather he's abstaining from marrying women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came out, he said, أَقُومُ وَأَنَامُ. Me, I pray some of the night and I sleep some of the night. أَصُومُ وَأَفْطِرُ. I fast certain days, I don't fast certain days. وَأَنْكُحُ النِّسَاء. And I marry women. And then he said, Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Whoever exceeds my sunnah, or whoever turns away from my sunnah, is not from me. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Man raghiba an sunnati, whoever turns away from my sunnah, the opposite of sunnah is bid'ah. So this shows that these three actions that these three men were speaking about, it was a bid'ah. But it wasn't bid'atun fi'liyah, they weren't doing an action, rather bid'atun tarkiyah, they were leaving an action. However, this leaving an action for the sake of Allah, it is also considered to be a bid'ah. And this is only if a person leaves something thinking this is part of the religion or this is seeking closeness to Allah. So if a person doesn't eat a particular type of food, he stays away from a particular type of food for the sake of his health, or maybe because he wants to lose weight, or maybe because he wants to save money, or any other worldly reason, then we don't call this a bid'ah. Because you can eat whatever you want and you can leave whatever you want. You can drink anything halal, and you can drink anything halal, and you can stay away from drinking anything halal because it is halal. It is just mubah. There's no punishment, there's no reward for doing it or staying away from it. So let's say somebody amongst us, as an example, just doesn't like the taste of an apple. So he stays away from it. He doesn't like the taste, so he just doesn't eat it. There's no problem with this because eating an apple is mubah. And the meaning of mubah is there's no reward for doing it and there's no action for staying away from it. As long as you don't consider it to be haram. So you know that this fruit, it is halal and it is from the tayyibat, from the pure things, but you don't like the taste. You stay away from it for a worldly reason. Let's say you stay away from eating this apple taqarruban ilallah, because you think that you're seeking closeness to Allah by leaving the eating of an apple. This is where the bid'ah, it comes in. So this is where it is bid'atun tarkiyah. And then we come to this lesson, and that is the types of bid'ah in terms of how they occur or where they occur. So the types of bid'ah in terms of where they occur. And there are three main types of bid'ah in terms of where they occur. Either bid'atun i'tiqadiyya, a bid'ah of the belief which is in the heart. So bid'ah can occur in the heart when it comes to the i'tiqad, when it comes to the beliefs. Or bid'atun qawliya, a bid'ah which occurs upon the tongue. Statements which you are making, which is a bid'ah. And then bid'atun amaliya, bid'ah which occurs in actions, i.e. bid'ah which a person is doing on his limbs. And we'll give examples of each one. So bid'atun i'tiqadiya qalbiya, the bid'ah which occurs in the heart, meaning the bid'ah of beliefs. It is to believe in anything which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not believe in, and you think this is from al-Islam. So any new aqeedah, any innovated aqeedah, this is the bid'ah of the heart. So all of those people of innovation, those groups of innovation, those deviated sects who came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they brought new i'tiqadat, new aqa'id, new beliefs, all of this is a bid'ah of the heart. So for example, if somebody believes that ilmul ghaib is not restricted to Allah, Allah knows the knowledge of the unseen, and then there are also awliya or mashayikh or murshidun, and they also know ilmul ghaib. This bid'ah, he hasn't physically done something or said something, it's just a belief in the heart. This belief itself is a bid'ah. If somebody believes in the abdal, some of the groups of innovation from amongst the Sufiya, they believe that after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, then after him there are abdal. And abdal means representatives who come after him. And the knowledge which the Prophet had, the claim, the ilmul ghaib which the Prophet had, he passes it on to these people. Every century there's a new badil, there's a new alternative or representative of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a certain chain. This aqidah, it is a bid'ah. And also the bid'ah of the Asha'ira when it comes to the asma wa sifat, the names and the attributes of Allah, how they made ta'wil, interpreted the names and the attributes of Allah, it is a bid'ah, it is innovated. And the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij and the Rafidh, and even the new sects today, the new groups today, like for example the Qadianiyyah and all the other groups who exist today, all of their beliefs or bid'ah. But the bid'ah which is i'tiqadiyya, either it can be to the level of kufr or it can be to the level of al-fisq. Because we said bid'ah is either mukaffira or mufassiqa. So believing that somebody has ilmul ghayb aside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is bid'atun i'tiqadiyyatun mukaffira. It is a bid'ah in the aqidah, in the heart, but at the same time it is kufr. Or the bid'ah, as I said, of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, who said the Qur'an is created, who negated the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bid'atun i'tiqadiyya, but it is mukaffira. It is the level of kufr. Those people who made ta'wil of the names and attributes of Allah, like the Asha'ira and the Maturidiyya, it is a bid'ah, but it doesn't reach the level of kufr. It is sin, it is wrong, it is a misunderstanding, it is disobedience, but it is not kufr. And of course, the bid'ah of the Qadianis and the Nation of Islam and these types of groups, absolute kufr. Then there is bid'atun qawliyah, bid'ah which occurs upon the tongue, i.e. statement which a person makes. And this is to make a statement attributed to Islam, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do. So for example, nowadays there are something which are called anashid. Now if a person thinks that these anashid are from Islam, they are part of our religion, these anashid are statements which are made, it becomes a bid'ah. If a person thinks that he is seeking closeness to Allah and worshipping Allah, and Allah is rewarding him for listening to Islamic anashid, like Allah rewards a person for listening to the Quran or listening to the ahadith or listening to knowledge, then this is now a bid'ah. As for poetry, just poetry, and there's no reward for poetry itself, as long as it doesn't contain something, of course, which is haram, then this is permitted. And at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even today, amongst the Arabs and even the non-Arabs, they are poets. So as long as the poetry does not contain anything which is haram, then it is permitted. But we are not allowed to be excessive when it comes to poetry. But if somebody ascribes anashid to Islam, that these are Islamic anashid, and if you listen to these anashid, then Allah will reward you, then this is now a bid'ah. Or for example, coming out with a new type of dhikr upon your tongue, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not used to say, or adding something to it, is a bid'ah. For example, some of them, they will say on a Thursday night, say La ilaha illallah 100 times. Or if you want success in your exams, then recite Surah Yasin 7 times. Now, these are only statements. So dhikr and La ilaha illallah and reciting Surah Yasin is from the Sharia. But 70 times or 10 times or 100 times, where did you come with this number from? This is now bid'atun qawliyah and idhafiyah. Also, it is a new addition to the ibadah. And then finally, al-bid'atun al-amaliyah. Al-bid'atun al-amaliyah is the bid'ah which a person does with regards to his actions upon his limbs. And that is any action which is ascribed to Islam, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do. Now this bid'atun amaliyah, this physical actions which are bid'ah, they may occur in ibadat, or they may occur in as-suluk, or they may occur in ad-da'wah. So these bid'ah which occurs upon the limbs, it could be in the ibadah, it could be in a type of worship which a person is doing, like innovating a salah, innovating certain adhkar, or innovating an eid, or innovating a certain fast. On this day you should fast. This is a bid'ah when it comes to your limbs which you're doing in your ibadah. Then there is also bid'atun fis suluk, that a bid'ah in a person's lifestyle. We're talking about a religious lifestyle. As an example, nowadays we see many Muslim sisters, may Allah guide and guide them, and they are wearing hijab, which is in reality not a hijab, or what they call modest clothing, which in reality is immodest and immoral. And they think that this is from Islam, and Islam permits us to wear this type of hijab or wear this type of jilbab. This is now a bid'ah in suluk, it is a bid'ah in the lifestyle or in the clothing which they are wearing, considering that this is Islamic clothing. Also, for example, as I said, in your lifestyle, if you leave something which Allah has made halal and you leave it seeking closeness to Allah. So a person thinks that I'm just going to wear the worst type of clothing and I'm not going to take a shower and my clothing are going to be torn and I'm not going to wear perfume and I'm doing this out of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a bid'atun in the suluk, in your lifestyle this is a bid'ah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ النِّسَابُ الطِّيبِ, that from the matters of your dunya, from your lifestyle, what has been made beloved to me is women, meaning marriage and perfume. But a person thinks, no, I'm going to abandon perfume because this is seeking closeness to Allah. This is a bid'ah in a suluk, in a person's lifestyle. And then also, bid'atun in a da'wah. So now these innovated ways of giving a da'wah which we see, na'am, whether it's protests and demonstrations, or whether it's bid'ah through anashid, or bid'ah through music or singing, or the mixing of men and women, all of this is also a bid'ah. The bid'ah of, for example, giving da'wah through comedy, na'udhu billah, trying to make people laugh, and people think this is da'wah to Allah. All of this is bid'ah in a da'wah. So these are the three main types of bid'ah in terms of where they occur. Bid'ah can occur in the heart if it is a new aqidah. Bid'ah can occur upon the tongue if it is a new statement. And bid'ah can occur in the limbs if a person does an action, whether it's in ibadat or in a suluk or in a da'wah in Allah or in any other action which is ascribed to al-Islam. Then the next issue to discuss is bid'ah worse or is ma'asiyah worse? Is sinning more severe or is bid'ah more severe? And just to differentiate between them, when we say sinning, we're talking about a person disobeying Allah and he knows he's disobeying Allah. He knows this action is haram. So for example, a person, let's give an example, may Allah protect us, listens to music. Whilst he's listening to music, he knows music is haram. He doesn't think music is part of Islam. He knows this is haram, this is a sin, may Allah forgive me, but he does this sin. And then you have another person who does a bid'ah, who does an innovated action, and he thinks that this is right. He thinks this is a part of Islam. Which of these two are worse? And the answer is that the bid'ah is worse and the bid'ah is more beloved to Iblis than al-ma'asiyah. Innovations are more beloved to Iblis than even sinning. And of course, both of them are sins and we shouldn't lighten any of them. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا. Or that person whose actions are made beautiful to him and he considers them to be good. This isn't disobedience. Because ma'asiyah, a person knows it is evil. A person knows it is a sin. A person knows he's doing haram. The one who zuyyina lahu su'a amalihi, the one whose actions, evil actions are made beautiful to him and he considers them to be good, farahu hasana, i.e. the bid'ah. And Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, إِنَّ الْبِدْعَةَ أَحَبُّ إِلَى الْإِبْلِيسِ مِنَ الْمَعْصِيَةِ, that innovations are more beloved to Iblis than sins. لِأَنَّ الْبِدْعَةَ لَا يُتَابُ مِنْهَا, because the bid'ah, there's no tawbah for it. وَالْمَعْصِيَةَ يُتَابُ مِنْهَا, as for sinning, then there's tawbah. What does it mean by this? When a person sins, like for example, listens to music, he knows that he's doing something which is haram. So therefore, when it's time to make dua, when he's fasting, when he's feeling close to Allah, when he's in umrah, he's going to seek forgiveness. Because he knows all those actions which I have been doing, it is a sin and it is haram and may Allah forgive me. So he will make tawbah and Allah will forgive him. وَمَنْ تَابَ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, whoever repents, Allah will accept the repentance. The mubtadi', the one who did the innovation, He doesn't even think that this innovation is wrong in the first place. He thinks the innovation is correct. He thinks that this innovation, I'm seeking closeness to Allah. He has a good intention behind this innovation. He might even praise Allah for guiding him to this innovation, because he thinks he's seeking closeness to Allah through this innovation. He thinks that this is a part of al-Islam. So how is he going to make tawbah? Why should he make a tawbah? If you go to an innovator and say to him, look, this innovation, you have to make tawbah. He's going to say, why should I make tawbah when this action I believe is a part of Islam? I believe that this action is actually taking me closer to Allah. So why should I make a tawbah? And this is the meaning of the statement, al-bid'ah la yutabu minha. That the bid'ah, nobody seeks forgiveness or repentance for the bid'ah, because that person thinks that this bid'ah is actually an avenue to seek closeness to Allah. He thinks Allah is rewarding him for this bid'ah, never mind any punishment. But the ma'asiyah, yutabu minha, the ma'asiyah, the sinning, because a person knows it is wrong, he will make a tawbah. And this is the meaning of the statement of the salaf. Many of them, they say, la tawbata lil mubtadi', la tawbata lil mubtadi', that there's no tawbah, there's no forgiveness for the innovator. And subhanAllah, some of the brothers, they misunderstand this statement. This statement does not mean that Allah will never forgive and repent an innovator, as long as he doesn't reach the level of kufr. So even an innovator, if he dies upon his innovation, as long as he doesn't reach the level of kufr, then from the mercy of Allah, maybe he will forgive him. Even if he did not make istighfar, like a person who does major sins, maybe through shafa'ah, Allah will forgive that person, as long as he doesn't reach the level of al-kufr. But the meaning of it is that the innovator, because he does not consider this action to be a sin in the first place, he has no need to make tawbah. And therefore he will not make a tawbah. And he will not have the tawfiq to make a tawbah unless a righteous scholar or a righteous friend, a nasih, somebody who advises him, explains to him this is a bid'ah, and then perhaps Allah will guide him and he will make a tawbah. So this is the meaning of the statement of the salaf, la tawbata lil mubtadi'. There is no repentance for the innovator, meaning the innovator will not repent. Why? Because he thinks it is something which is good in the first place. As for the one who sins, because he knows it is a sin, then he will readily make a tawbah. So the bid'ah is more beloved than ma'asiyah, than sinning. But this statement, it isn't true in every sense or every situation. There are some sins which are worse than bid'ah. So for example, some of the major kaba'ir, like for example, consuming the wealth of the yatim. This is much worse than somebody who, for example, makes dhikr in jama'ah, who makes dhikr in unison. So generally speaking, bid'ah is more beloved to Iblis than ma'asiyah, but then there are certain sins, because of the severity of these sins, they are worse than the bid'ah. Like I said, the seven major destructive sins, قَذْفَ al-mu'minat al-muhsanat, accusing a decent, chaste, modest woman of indecency and fahisha, na'udhu billah, from the seven major destructive sins. So this is now worse than maybe a small bid'atun mufassiqah that a person may do. But generally speaking, the bid'ah is more beloved to Iblis. Why? Because a mubtadi' will not seek repentance, because he feels that he's actually doing good actions. Whereas the asi, the one who does sins, he will seek repentance. And then the next thing we come to is the doubt that bid'ah can be. People say there are two types of bid'ah in the religion. Bid'atun hasana and bid'atun sayyi'a. There can be a good bid'ah and it can be an evil bid'ah. So the evil bid'ah in the religion, they say this is haram, but the good bid'ah in the religion, they say this is rewarded for. And what is the good bid'ah? Anything which doesn't go against the teachings of al-Islam. So as long as this bid'ah which you're doing doesn't call to zina, or doesn't call to fahisha, or doesn't call to drinking alcohol or any big sin, then it is permitted. So they will say, what is wrong with making dua in congregation after the salah. What's wrong with this? Am I calling to evil? Am I making shirk? Am I calling other than Allah? No. I'm supplicating to Allah. I'm supplicating in the masjid. Dua in of itself is something which is good. There's nothing evil in this. So this is bid'atun hasana. And the answer to this is, firstly, there's only one type of bid'ah when it comes to the religion, and that is shar, evil. All of it is evil and all of it is misguidance. Regardless of whether you have a good intention or a bad intention, regardless of whether it calls to something which is evil, or you think it is calling to something which is good, all of it is evil. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in many ahadith, in the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sari, in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and other ahadith, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Verily, كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ, every bid'ah is misguidance. And it's known that this word كُلُّ مِنْ أَلْفَاظِ الْعُمُومِ, it is from those words which مِنْ أَلْفَاظِ الْعُمُومِ, it is general and generic for any action. So when I said, for example, if I say, كُلُّكُمْ طُلَّابُ الْعِلْمِ, all of you are طُلَّابُ الْعِلْمِ, unless I make an exception after I say, except fulan and fulan, he's not a طالب العلم. If I just said, كُلُّكُمْ طُلَّابُ الْعِلْمِ, then this كُل, all of you are students of knowledge, all meaning every single entity. So كُل is مِنْ أَلْفَاظِ الْعُمُومِ, meaning it includes within it every type or every entity within that which I am saying. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, every bid'ah is misguidance. And then this person comes along and he says, no, not every type of bid'ah is misguidance. Rather, there is good bid'ah and there is bad bid'ah in the religion. So he's going against the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now remember, we are not talking about bid'ah in the dunya, bid'ah in the adat. We're not talking about bid'atun nisbiyah. We've covered all of that. We are talking about bid'ah within the religion. Al-Imam Malik, rahimullah, he said, "Man ibtada'a fil Islam bid'atan yaraha hasana." Whoever innovates in this religion, an innovation, and he considers it to be something which is hasan, meaning he says this is a bid'atun hasana. He said, "Faqad za'ama anna Muhammadan khana ar-risala." Then he has claimed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is treacherous and he has betrayed the risala. Why? لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولَ الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. Allah says, on this day I have completed, perfected your religion for you. And this person is saying, no, rather the religion is incomplete. Why? Because we have to add something to it. Or we have to take away something from it. Or there is a type of ibadah which takes us close to Allah, but the Prophet did not tell us about this ibadah. And then he said, فَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ دِينًا فَلَنْ يَكُونَ دِينًا. That whatever, anything which was not considered as being a part of Islam in that day, i.e. when this ayah was revealed, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, when the Prophet and the Sahaba, when they passed away, then nothing in the future will ever be considered to be an ibadah. So any Eid, any day which was not considered an Eid at the time of the Prophet and the Sahaba, then until Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will never ever be an Eid in al-Islam. Any type of salah, prayer, which the Prophet and the Sahaba did not do and legislate, then until Yawm al-Qiyamah, nobody can come and legislate it. Any new way of wearing the hijab, which was not considered to be hijab at the time of the Prophet, until Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will never be considered to be al-hijab. Unlike this, every single innovation. And Al-Hafid ibn Rajab, in his explanation of Al-Arba'un Al-Nawawiyyah, he said this hadith, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, every innovation is misguidance. He said, مِنْ جَوَامِعِ الْكَلِمِ, this is from those concise words which the Prophet said, and yet it contains so much meaning. He said, لَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ شَيْءٍ, nothing is external to this statement. When the Prophet said, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, every bid'ah is misguidance, there is no exception. Any action which is new in the religion, it enters into being dalala, misguidance. He said, وَهُوَ أَصْلٌ عَظِيمٌ مِنْ أُصُولِ الدِّينِ, and this is from the great principles of our religion. And he said, it is like the saying of the Prophet, "Man ahdatha fi amrina ma hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad." Whoever introduces anything into this affair of ours will be rejected. Then he said, "Fakullu man ahdatha shay'an wa nasabahu ila ad-din wa lam yakun lahu aslun min ad-din yarji'u ilayhi fahuwa ad-dalala." He said, whoever introduces anything into the religion and then he ascribes it to the religion, and this does not have any basis or any evidence from the religion, فَهُوَ الضَّلَالَ, then it is misguidance. Anybody innovates anything into Islam and it does not have an evidence, then it is misguidance. وَالدِّينُ بَرِيءٌ مِنْهُ, and this religion is free from that action. سَوَاءٌ فِي ذَلِكَ مَسَائِلِ الْإِعْتِقَادِ, regardless of whether this innovation is in the i'tiqadat, أو الأعمال, or from the actions, أو الأقوال, or from the statements, الظاهرة والباطنة, whether it is apparent, whether it is hidden. And in reality, those people who consider that there are two types of bid'ah, bid'atun sayyatun, bid'atun hasanatun, they only have one or two evidences. They only have two evidences. The first evidence is the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu, ni'matul bid'ah hadi. How good of a bid'ah this is. When he saw the people praying in congregation, all of them, behind a single imam, he said, bid'atun hasana. How good of a bid'ah, ni'mal bid'ah. How good of a bid'ah this is. So they say, look, this is bid'atun hasana. And this we have already explained, that the meaning of bid'atun hasana, good bid'ah, is bid'atun nisbiyya. It is a relative bid'ah. It isn't in reality a bid'ah, because it has an evidence in the Sharia. It was done at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But relative to the time of Umar, we can say it is something which is new or something which is revived. And then the second evidence which they will use, they will say the writing of the Quran in a mushaf, or for example, the writing of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is something which is a part of the religion, and it wasn't done at the time of the Prophet, so this is a good bid'ah. Nobody amongst you will debate with us that the Quran being in a mushaf, in a single copy, this is a good bid'ah. Or the ahadith being collected, written down, this is a good bid'ah. And the answer to this is, there's a number of answers we can give, but the easiest answer is that the writing of the Quran in a single mushaf and the recording of the ahadith on paper, it has an asl in the Sharia, and that is that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were certain individuals who were called kuttabul wahi. They were the writers of the wahi, of revelation. So some of them wrote down the Quran at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the difference is, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there somebody would write maybe a few ayat of the Quran on some leather, because there was no paper and ink. So this one, maybe there he wrote short surah on some leather and it was with him. Another one maybe on a leaf or on a stone, or different ways that it could be written. And then at the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when many of the Hufad of the Quran started to die, especially in one of the battles, Umar, I think 82 of the Hufath, they died. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, he advised Abu Bakr that why don't we collect all of the various writings of the Quran which are all over the place, and why don't we write all of the Quran down? Because if the Hufath keep dying and they keep dying, then how is Allah going to, then maybe the Quran is going to be lost. So the way of the preserving of the Quran was then the memorizing and also the writing of the Quran in a single mushaf. So then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he took Zayd ibn Thabit. And Zayd ibn Thabit was the first person who combined the Quran into a single written copy. And Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he had a particular methodology in the collection of all of the Quran, that he went to as many Sahaba as he could, or all of the Sahaba who had either something with them which was written. So like I said, this Sahabi might have a few ayat written on some leather on a parchment. Another Sahabi would have a few more ayat written somewhere else. Another Sahabi would have another few ayat written somewhere else. He collected all of them. And then he also went to the Hufad of the Quran. And he listened to them as well. And he would only, wallahu a'lam, he would only take from those Hufad who had memorized the Quran from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he collected the Quran and it was written down in a single mushaf. And then this was accepted by the ijma' of the Sahaba. So the point is, the writing of the mushaf, in the writing of the Quran in a mushaf, does it have an asl in the Sharia? Yes, it does. Because at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, those who could write, they used to write ayat here and there. Also, when it comes to the writing of the hadith, even at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, there were individual sahaba who used to write down some of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And there were those who could write, because the majority of the people at that time, they were not people of writing. Rather, they would memorize and convey verbally. Generally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to forbid the Sahaba from writing the hadith, generally speaking. However, he permitted a small number of Sahaba to write down. And the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam generally forbade the writing of the hadith is because he didn't want the people to confuse between the revelation of the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he feared that if people are writing the Quran and other people writing the hadith, what if people start to confuse between them? And so he forbade the people from writing the hadith, apart from one or two individuals who used to write some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, even the writing of the Quran, there is an asl from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even the writing of the hadith, there is an asl from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the final thing we will discuss is there are six ways in which a bid'ah can occur. Meaning, in order for an action to be considered to be ibadah and correct, it has to conform to the sunnah in six ways. And if one of these six ways is new, then this action is not ibadah, it is bid'ah. And these six ways are a sabab. The reason. The reason why you do an ibadah, it has to agree with to the reason why the Prophet ﷺ did this ibadah. Secondly, al-jins, the type of ibadah. The type of ibadah which you are doing has to be the same type of ibadah which the Prophet ﷺ did. Then, al-qadr, the amount. So the amount of this particular ibadah which you are doing has to be the same amount of ibadah which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did of a particular action. Fourth, al-kayfiyah, the description of how you are doing this ibadah, the way in which it is being performed, the sequence in which it is being done, has to be according to the description and the sequence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fifth, al-zaman, the time frame in which you are performing this ibadah has to be the same time frame in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed this ibadah. And finally, al-makan, the place in which you are doing this ibadah has to be the same place in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this ibadah. So if one of these six things are not found, then this action is considered to be a bid'ah, not an ibadah. As an example, instead of a person doing an ibadah in the sequence that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, the kayfiyah, he does it in a different sequence. This is now a bid'ah. Even though for everything else is okay, but this is now a bid'ah. Let's go through each one and I will give you an example. So the first is a sabab, is a reason. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did certain types of ibadat for certain reasons. So for example, he said, من دخل المسجد فلا يجلس حتى يركع ركعتين. Whenever one of you enters into a masjid, then do not sit down until you have prayed two raka'at. So now these two raka'at, which are called tahiyyatul masjid, what is the reason or the cause of praying these two raka'at? The fact that you are entering the masjid. Or for example, wudu, the two raka'at after wudu. What is the cause for praying these two raka'at the fact that you have made wudu. So let's say a person invents a new reason. So for example, he will say that every time I enter into my house, I'm going to pray two raka'at. And before I leave my house, every time I'm going to pray two raka'at. So these two raka'at, we know praying nafil is from the sharia. Praying raka'at is from the sharia. But you have now added a reason to it or a cause to it which the Prophet ﷺ did not do. Did the Prophet ﷺ make leaving your house or entering your house a reason or a cause for you to pray two raka'at? No, he did not. So even though praying nawafil is sunnah, but because you have given it a cause or a reason, now this action, it becomes a bid'ah. Let's say a person innovates a new Eid because this was the Battle of Badr, this day when the Muslims were victorious over the non-Muslims. So whether you fast on that day or whether you take it to be an Eid or whatever new addition that person does, the asl of fasting is from the Sharia. But you have now given it a new reason, new cause. You've attached it to a new event. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he ever attach fasting to the day of Badr? He did not do. So even though fasting is allowed, but the fact that you have attached it to an event or a reason or a cause, then it becomes a bid'ah. Or if somebody fasts on the day in which the Prophet ﷺ made hijrah, or he fasts because on this day the Prophet was born, or a person does celebrations because this day is Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. The fasting in of itself is from Islam, but the fact that you have attached it to a sabab, to an event or a cause or a reason which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not specify, it becomes a bid'ah. So this is the sabab. Secondly, al-jins. That a person does a type of bid'ah which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do. For example, Eid al-Adha, the udhiya or the qurbani, the slaughtering of the animal. A person says, instead of me slaughtering ghanam, meaning a cow or a camel or a sheep or a goat, I'm going to slaughter a horse. So this type of animal which you are now making udhiya of, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this? Even though udhiya qurbani is from Islam, but you bought a new type now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he limited to these four animals, the an'am, cow, camel, goat and sheep. A person says, no, I want to do a horse. A horse is more expensive than even a cow or a camel. The horse is worth even more, it's more precious. It's going to cost me more. So Allah is going to reward me more. But we say, no, this is a bid'ah. Even though the sabab is the same. So the reason why he is doing this action is correct. Meaning it is Eid al-Adha. But the jinns, the type of thing which he is slaughtering, it is a bid'ah. Then the third thing is al-qadr, in the amount which a person does. So for example, when it comes to wudu, a person, instead of making or washing each limb once or twice or three times, he says, I'm going to do it four times. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you wash it three times, this is ibadah. But if you wash it four times, this is even more ibadah. I'm only washing my limb more. I'm only more cleaner. There's nothing evil which I am doing. We say to this person that your sabab is correct. The reason why you're doing it, it is correct and legislated, because you're doing it in order to pray. The type of ibadah, meaning you're doing wudu, this type, it is correct. You're doing with water, it is correct. But the amount which you are doing is wrong, and therefore now it is a bid'ah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tawadda'a marratan marratan wa marrataini wa marrataini wa thalathan wa thalathan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes he would make wudu washing each limb only once. And sometimes he would make wudu washing each limb twice. And sometimes he would make wudu washing each limb three times. But he never made wudu washing the limb four times. In fact, he said it in one of the hadith, مَنْ زَادَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ وَتَعَدَّ وَظَلَمْ. Whoever exceeds washing the limb three times, meaning four, five, six times, then he has done something which is evil, and he has exceeded the limits of the Sharia, and he has oppressed himself. So if everything else is the same, but just the qadr, the amount which you are doing is wrong, then it is a bid'ah. For example, instead of a person fasting 30 days of Ramadan, he says, I'll fast 33 days of Ramadan. These extra 3 days, it's not like I'm doing anything evil. It's just fasting, it's just dhikr, it's just nawafil, but I'm just going to do 3 more days, and I consider this to be part of Islam. This is now a bid'ah. The fourth way, of course, unless there is a need when it comes to wudu. So for example, a person washes each limb 3 times, and then he notices on one of his limbs there's still some najasa there. So he washes it a 4th time, or he washes it a 5th time. This 4th and 5th time, we don't call it a bid'ah. Why? Because he isn't washing his limbs 4th or 5th time as an act of closeness to Allah, but because there is a particular reason which requires him to do so. There's najasa here, he needs to wash it more, so he washes it more times. And this is something which is tariq, something which has come up, which causes him to wash it more than 3 times. But we're talking about a person who thinks that washing the body 4 times is extra ibadah. Then there is the kayfiyah, the description of how a person does this ibadah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Pray as you have seen me praying. Meaning pray in the sequence and the way and the description which I have prayed. So somebody makes sujood before the ruku'. Somebody reads the tahiyyat instead of the fatiha. This is now a bid'ah. Even though the sabab is correct, and the qadr is correct, and the jins is correct, but how he is doing it wrong. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he performed hajj, and then he said, خُذُوا عَنِّي الْمَنَاسِكِ وَخُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. Take your hajj from the way I have done it in these days. A person decides, I will go to Arafah on the day of At-Tarwiyah, and I will stay in Mina on the night of Muzdalifah, and so on and so forth. Then he has done a bid'ah. Then the 5th type in which the bid'ah can occur is the zaman, the time frame in which a person is doing that action. So for example, a person prays a salah, let's say salat al-dhuhr, but he prays it before dhuhr time enters, intentionally, on purpose. And he thinks, what am I doing wrong? I'm only hastening to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said in the Quran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى الْخَيْرَاتِ. Hasten to do good action. Do them as soon as you can. So instead of me delaying dhuhr until the time of dhuhr will come, I might die, I'll do it early. Now this person, he's done everything correct so far. The sabab is correct because this is a salah. And the jinns, he's staying praying the same salah, he's facing the same qibla, he's reciting the same surah al-Fatiha, the same thing. Everything he's doing okay. But the time frame in which he's doing it goes against the sunnah. So now this action, it is a bid'ah, even though everything else, it is correct. And then finally, al-makan, the place in which a person does an ibadah. So let's say a person does i'tikaf in a place other than the masjid. Now, like many of or some of the women, they perform i'tikaf in their houses. This is a bid'ah. Even though the i'tikaf, they're doing everything else right. So they're doing it for the right reason, because it's the 10 last days of Ramadan. And how they are doing it, in terms of making dhikr and staying secluded from people worshipping Allah, it is correct. And the qadr, the amount of days they are doing, it is correct. Everything is correct. And the timing is correct. But the place in which they are doing it is not correct. So a person, like I said, does i'tikaf at home or in his workplace or in the school, and he's making ibadah of Allah, he's worshipping Allah, we say this is still a bid'ah. You've done everything else right, but the place in which you are doing it, it is incorrect. Also added into this is certain ziyarat, certain places that people visit thinking that this is from Islam. And it is virtuous to go visit these places, to go visit the graves of certain awliya, as if this is from Islam. Visiting graveyards, it is permitted. But now you have given this graveyard, this place, a special virtue. This is a bid'ah. Or for example, a person who goes to a graveyard to worship Allah. This is not shirk. Pay attention to this. A person who goes to a graveyard to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a bid'ah. And we could say it is shirk asghar because it may lead to shirk akbar, but it is not kufr and shirk akbar. Why? Because he's still worshipping Allah. He's not worshipping the person in the grave. He just thinks that by me worshipping Allah next to a particular grave, because this place is more virtuous, then Allah is going to reward me even more. We say this is a bid'ah. So yes, worshipping Allah is correct and permitted, but as for innovating a new place, thinking that this grave is going to... your worship will be more accepted, there's more virtue in this grave or graveyard, this is where the bid'ah, it occurs. So the point is that if one of these six matters go against the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though the other five matters are correct, it is considered to be a bid'ah. The sabab, a person does that action for a new reason, or the jinns, a person, he does a new type of ibadah, or al-qadr, a person does the ibadah but for a different amount than what the Prophet did, or he does it in a way or in a sequence which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do, the kayfiyya, or the zaman, he does it in a time frame which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do, or al-makan, or he does it in a place which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do, then it is considered to be a bid'ah. And if a person wants more information, then refer to the explanation of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen of Arba'in al-Nawawi of this hadith. من أحدث في أمرنا, he mentions all of this. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم.